Mention this all the time because the Bible talks about it all the time. I'm thankful for the mercy of God and I'm thankful for His long suffering. But even with His own people, the nation of Israel, there came a time where He said, that's it. You think about Judah and their captivity in Babylon. You think about Israel. That's what we're studying about even in Hosea right now. Their captivity to Assyria. And God sent man after man after man after man, prophet after prophet after prophet, to preach to His dear people, to His chosen national people, Israel. And there came a moment where judgment had to fall. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, God is giving you another opportunity to come to Him tonight. God is giving you another chance to say, hey, I need the Lord Jesus Christ. You might be here tonight and you're saved and you know that. You don't have any doubt about it. But you're away from God. And you've strayed from God a little bit. And tonight God is saying, hey, well, come back. Come back. Partake of My mercy. In My mercy, all you have to do is come back and repent and confess. Yeah, there's consequences. There's always consequences for sin, but there's always forgiveness at the foot of the cross. And so I'm thankful for that tonight. Proverbs chapter number 31. We have been speaking for the past two Sunday nights, and tonight, of course, will be the third. We have been speaking about the matter of, or the title, For Such a Time as This. And we know that that is taken from Esther chapter number 4 and verse number 14. When Mordecai told Esther, he said, look, maybe, just maybe, you're here at this very moment for such a time as this. Maybe you're here to be able to save our people at this moment. And God has placed you in that palace, if you will, for such a time as this. And we have been speaking about rearing virtuous women in a treacherous world. Rearing virtuous women in a treacherous world. And we've looked at two different characteristics of the virtuous woman. We looked at the submission of a virtuous woman. We said that a young lady should be submissive first and foremost to her God. A young lady should be submissive to her God, His Word, His ways, His will. She should be submitted to her God. Then we said a young lady should be submissive to her guides. Titus chapter number 2 speaks about the aged women teaching the younger ladies. And so a young lady should be submissive to her guides. Proverbs chapter 2 speaks about the strange woman or the strange young lady who forsook the guides of her youth, those who had tried to steer her in a right direction. The Bible says she forsook that. And not only that, but she forgot, the Bible says, the covenants that she had made with her God. And so a young lady should be submissive to her guides. Listen, young ladies, tonight, God has placed that mom or that grandmom or whoever that lady is in your life that has a godly influence upon you. God has placed them there for a reason. Don't try to buck against that. It's for your best. Amen? Parents, help me out with that tonight. Look, it's for your absolute best. God has put godly ladies in your life, whether that's your mom, whether that's a grandmother, whether that's a Sunday school teacher, whether that's a master club teacher, God has placed them there for a specific person, and that's to help you be the godly woman that God wants you to be. So, be submissive to your guides, to those who are guiding you in the Word of God. And then we said that a young lady should be submissive to her gender. Well, that's important today, isn't it? Young lady should be submissive to her gender. God made a man and God made a woman. He didn't make anything else. Okay, and if God has made you a young lady, embrace that. If God has made you a young man, embrace that. Embrace it. Because that's who He made you to be. The Creator of this universe makes no mistakes. And if He made you a young man, then be happy and rejoice in God about that. If He made you a young lady, rejoice and praise His holy name for that. Don't try to be something different, because here's the truth. You'll never, ever, ever fulfill God's perfect purpose for you if you try to be something else. Because that's not who He made you to be. He made you to be that young lady. So the submission of a virtuous woman. Then last Sunday night, we looked at the spirit of a virtuous woman from 1 Peter chapter number 3, the spirit of a virtuous woman. And we said that a young lady should have a holy adorning. And the Bible speaks there, the adorning that he's speaking about, or that is being spoken about in 1 Peter 3, is the meek and the quiet spirit. He said it's not the fixing up of the hair, it's not the wearing of jewelry or even the kind of apparel that you wear per se. It's the meek and quiet spirit. So we said a young lady should have a holy adorning. We said that a young lady should have a holy attitude, the meek and the quiet spirit. Then we said a young lady should have holy actions. Holy action. She ought to be pure. She ought to pray. She ought to praise. And then tonight, here in Proverbs 31, I'd like for us to see the strength of a virtuous woman. The strength of a virtuous woman. See, here's the truth tonight. The world is going to tell our young ladies that they are only strong if they buck against all of the biblical norms. They're going to tell young ladies, hey, if you listen to that Bible, if you listen to that antiquated word, then you're weak. And the Bible tells us something totally different, doesn't it? Look, if you would, in Proverbs 31, and we're by no means going to do a deep dive into this chapter tonight. We know this is the chapter on the virtuous woman, but notice verse 25 with me, if you would. The Bible says that strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. And I want to show us tonight five different areas where her strength is put on grand display, of where we see the strength of a virtuous woman demonstrated. And we find all of those right here in Proverbs chapter number 31 tonight. A virtuous woman ought to be submissive. She ought to have a meek and quiet spirit. But a virtuous woman is strong. The Bible says strength and honor are her clothing. Now, not the way the world defines strength. Not the way the world defines strong. The world defines strength by how much you push against authority. Young ladies, the world defines strength based upon how high you climb the corporate ladder. God may allow you to do that, but that's not where you find strength. And I want us to see tonight these areas that exhibit, that manifest the strength of a virtuous woman tonight. And I pray that it'll be a help. And listen, we need to encourage. We need to encourage all of us to stop listening to what the world has to say about anything. Because the world's wrong. When all is said and done, the world is going to be shown to be wrong. About everything. The Word of God is truth. And so it is the Word of God that's going to lead and guide us into all truth. Not what some famous individual says. Not what some philosophy says. Not what some ideology says. But what the Word of God says. And so let's look at this tonight. Let's pray and ask God to help us tonight. I'm thankful, by the way, I'm thankful for ladies who demonstrate the kind of strength that we're going to look at tonight. And by the way, husbands, if you have a virtuous woman, you ought to praise God for that. You ought to praise God for the strength that she displays that is borne out here in Proverbs chapter number 31. Because as we even said last week, that strength keeps you out of a lot of messes as a man, doesn't it? Just admit it, because I'm a man, I know it. And I'm not the only one, by the way. I'm not the only one that my wife has kept me out of a lot of bad decisions. Or maybe I am, maybe it's just me. Wives, you can come and tell me later. You can come and tell me different later, because I know. Father, we sure do love you tonight. We're thankful for your goodness. And Father, we're thankful tonight for virtuous women. Whether that virtuous woman is a wife, whether she might be a mother, whoever it might be tonight, we're thankful for virtuous women. We're thankful for Proverbs 31 ladies. And Father, we're thankful for Proverbs 31 ladies who are seeking to teach other young ladies to be Proverbs 31 ladies as well. And Lord, that's our desire. That's what we've been speaking about the last few Sunday nights. Father, we need young women who are going to grow up and who are going to be obedient to your word, who are going to be obedient to your truth, not to what the world tells them they have to do to prove themselves, but Father, simply based upon what your word tells us. And so Lord, teach us again tonight and help us. And Father, we'll be sure to give you the praise and glory even right now for what you're going to do in our hearts. And Lord, I do pray. I pray for our young ladies tonight. I pray for our teenage girls and even these that have just graduated, Lord, and are getting ready to step out into a new phase of life. And Father, I pray that we've given them what they need. I pray that we'll continue to help as much as we possibly can, but Lord, I pray that we have. And Father, for these younger girls, these younger teenagers, and even our little girls, Father, I pray that we'd see the great responsibility that we have to train them and to rear them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to train them and rear them in the truth of your word. And so, Father, teach us one more time tonight, and we'll thank you and praise you for it. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Real simple tonight. Let me give you these five things, if I could, these five truths that we find in Proverbs chapter number 31. We're talking about the strength of a virtuous woman. And first of all tonight, her strength is seen in her home. Her strength is seen in her home because she's going to have a home that's going to be prepared. Remember what we talked about last Sunday morning with the Mother's Day message, and as we spoke to the mothers, we said that mothers prepare for the future. Mothers are the ones primarily, and I know the fathers ought to have a great responsibility in that as well, but mothers, and we spoke specifically about a few mothers. We talked about Jochebed, we talked about Mary, we talked about Hannah, and how they prepared their children for the future. Jochebed prepared Moses for the future. Hannah prepared Samuel as long as she had him with her. And it wasn't very long. It wasn't very long that Jochebed had Moses. But they prepared those young men for the future. Notice what the Bible says. Actually, let's just go back and read and begin at verse number 10. And we're going to make our way down to around verse 21 for our first thought tonight. Verse number 10, the Bible says, "Who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies?" And again, let's say it tonight, and I know we're being repetitious, but we've said it the last two Sunday nights. Why is she so valuable? Why is she priceless? Because she's rare. Because the virtuous woman is rare. And we've spoken about this, and we used an economic illustration to show this. But when supply is high and demand is low, then the price is going to go down. When the supply is low and the demand is high, the price is going to go up. Well, the virtuous woman is rare. So the supply is low and her price skyrockets, doesn't it? To the point the Bible says, "For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy." And notice verse 21, "She is not afraid of the snow, for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet." Number one tonight, as we think about the strength of a virtuous woman, her strength is seen in her home. Why? Because she has a home that is prepared. By the way, not only physically, that's what we see in verse number 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. Why? For all her household are clothed with scarlet. She's not afraid of that physical strength. Her household is physically prepared. Her household is also spiritually prepared. And if you notice, as we read down, and I didn't count as I went, I should have, but down in verses 10 through 21, how many times the word household or the household or the family was mentioned. And that's what is pointed to when it comes to the virtuous woman is her household. And as we said just a moment ago, the world today determines and measures a lady's strength based upon what she does outside the home. Now, by the way, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with a lady doing anything outside the home. By the way, the Bible says that the lady here, she considers a field and buys it. That's a pretty big deal, isn't it? How many of your ladies, how many of your wives have considered a field and came home one day and said, "Hey, we're going to buy this field. I'm going to plant a vineyard." Any of your wives done that? She's a pretty ingenious lady, isn't she? She's a pretty industrious lady, is my point. But look, everything points toward the household. By the way, in Titus chapter 2, last week, the Bible says that the aged women are to teach the young women to be keepers at home. It doesn't matter how successful a lady is outside the home. If her home's a mess, she's not a success. Her strength is seen in her home. Physically, emotionally, they're prepared for anything and everything that's going to come. Verse number 11, it speaks about the husband. Verse number 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. And I know a lot of ladies don't do that today. It's a lot of ladies don't sew today. A lot of these things are many times lost arts. I understand that. Verse 15, the Bible says, she riseth also while it is yet night. And notice what it says, and giveth meat to her who? Household. Giveth meat to her household. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Her strength is seen in her home. Her strength is seen in the little ones that she raises. Her strength is seen in a house that is prepared. The children are prepared. The meals are prepared. The clothing is prepared. They're not afraid of the winter. They're not afraid of the snow, the Bible says in verse number 21. Why? Because she has prepared the scarlet for her home. They are fully dressed and ready for the cold and ready for the winter. Why? Because mother is prepared. You say, "Pastor, that's antiquated preaching. That's not the way we live in the 21st century." I know things are a little different, but that doesn't take away from the role that God gave to the lady, to the responsibility that God gave to the lady. That doesn't mean that men ought not help their wives in the home. They should. Men, we've said this many, many times. Men, you ought to help your wives in the home. But can I say something tonight without stirring any, making any hairs come up on anybody's neck tonight? And maybe I probably shouldn't. Let me just go to number two. First of all, her strength is seen in her home, a home that will be prepared. Secondly, her strength is seen in her husband, a husband who will be promoted. Her strength is seen in her husband. She's not trying to usurp her husband. She's not trying to usurp his authority. She's not trying to be the one out in front. She is trying to promote her husband. Look what the Bible says in verse number 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. And by the way, why is he known in the gates? He's known in the gates because of how his wife promotes him. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Look, he has no worries about where she's at. He has no worries about how much money she's spending. He has no worries about what she's doing during the day, because the Bible says that his heart doth safely trust in her. Notice this. So that he shall have no need of spoil. He trusts her completely. She's going to take care of the home. She's going to take care of what's needed at the home. She's not going to be somewhere she doesn't need to be. By the way, we looked last week at the comparison between the virtuous woman and the strange woman. The Bible says the virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter number 7 did not like to keep her feet where? At home. In the house. She hated being at home. And by the way, that doesn't mean... And I don't think I have to go back and re-preach last week and give all the caveats from last week. But the Bible says there's a difference between the virtuous woman and the strange woman. The strange woman never likes to be at home. The virtuous woman is a keeper at home, and she has a prepared home. And her husband is promoted because of her. Let me tell you tonight, and I would say this is probably true probably 90% of the time. Not always. I'm sure there are exceptions. But if you find a man who is genuinely successful, he probably is so because of his wife. He probably is so because of his wife. Because of everything that she does that many times he doesn't even know she does. And many times nobody knows. That the kids never see, the husband never sees. Because of her strength. And her strength is seen in her home. It's a home that's prepared. Her strength is seen in her husband, a husband who will be promoted. Ladies, tonight, I don't know, I don't live with you and your husband. I don't know everything about your husband per se. But when you're in a crowd, and maybe there are other ladies who are belittling their husband, you ought to be lifting your husband up. You say, oh, but Pastor, he's not perfect. I know, none of us are. But you need to be lifting him up. You're not helping your home, and you're not helping yourself when you're tearing him down. You're not helping him when you're telling someone else what a good-for-nothing he is. Even though he may be, I don't know. But you're not helping your home when you do that. Here's my point. The Proverbs 31 lady doesn't do that. The virtuous woman doesn't do that. The Bible says that her husband is known in the gates. By the way, that phrase, known in the gates, means that he has a position of authority in that city. He's known in the gates. Maybe he's the mayor. Maybe he's a councilman. He has a position in the city. By the way, we're talking about the virtuous woman. So why is he who he is? Primarily because of her. She promotes him. She encourages him. By the way, she tells him the truth. I'm not saying tonight that, ladies, when you go home, that you tell your husband just what he needs to hear. Or excuse me, no, that's not the way I meant to say that. That you tell your husband what he wants to hear. You do need to tell him what he needs to hear. I said that wrong. I'm not saying you go home and just tell your husband everything he wants to hear. You know what, there are times, we mentioned this last week, there are times when you need to tell your husband behind closed doors, sweetie, I don't think we ought to do that. That's okay. Isn't it, husbands? Because they have a different perspective. They see things a little differently. And behind closed doors, when you're having intimate conversations about decisions and dreams and things that you believe God wants you to do in your home, when your wife gives advice and counsel, don't just push that aside and say, well, I'm the man, I'll make the decision. Ultimately, you know what? You probably will make the decision, but you sure better listen to her. Or you might make a decision that you'll regret. This man is known in the city probably because he is financially secure. I don't know that. The Bible doesn't say that specifically. But he is known in the gates. He has a reputation. He is probably a leader in that city. And he's known in the gates and has a good reputation. He's probably financially sound. Why is he financially sound? Because he's got a wife planting a vineyard. That's why. He's got a wife planting crops. No, because he has a wife at home taking care of things at home. And what I mean by that is he safely trusts in her. She's not outspending every dollar he has. She's probably making him money, and she's probably helping him to be wise in how to spend it and how to save it and how to give. Look, the strength of a virtuous woman, it's not in how far I can climb the corporate ladder. It's what my home looks like. It's who my husband is and who I help him to become. Is the husband ultimately the leader? Absolutely. The Bible is very clear about that. The Bible says the husband is the head of the home, just like Christ is the head of the church. Absolutely. But husbands, please, oh please, oh please, don't take that and let it go to your pride, to your detriment. Listen to your wife. This man is known, and again, the Bible doesn't elaborate here, and so my elaborations are just conjectures, but this man is known in the gates for a reason. And so first of all tonight, her strength is seen in her home, a home that will be prepared. Her strength is seen in her husband, a husband who will be promoted. Ladies, every chance you get, you ought to promote your husband. You ought to lift him up. And husbands, by the way, every chance you get, you ought to speak glowingly about your wife. Pastor, I don't want to lie. Really? I know your wives tonight. You're not going to be lying. You when you're speaking to other people, you ought to speak glowingly about your wives. I was talking to someone just a couple weeks ago, and they told me, they said, "You boy, you sure got a gem with your wife." And I said, "You don't have to tell me that." I said, "I know that. And I'm thankful beyond thankful." You know what, men? We need to lift our wives up. Your wives ought not be fodder for conversation at the office place. Whenever men at your workplace get to meet your wife, they ought to say, "Wow, this is the lady that you talk about all the time. Yeah, I see." Instead of, "Oh, there's the old ball and chain that you talk about all the time." Look, that's terrible. And when we're in other company, boy, there ought to be promotion. We ought to be encouraging. Look, even if you have to go to the nth degree to find something to praise them about, you ought to do that. And I don't mean that bad. I'm just saying, look, find what you can to praise them about. First of all, tonight, her strength is seen in her home, a home that will be prepared. Her strength is seen in her husband, a husband who will be promoted. By the way, do you remember what we saw last week? Let's look at this again real quickly. Let me find the passage. Would you look back at Proverbs chapter 21? In verse number 9. I'm not trying to be repetitious here at all. I'm just speaking about this matter of promotion and encouragement. And in Proverbs 21, verse number 9, the Bible says, "It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house." And by the way, I believe it's probably true with the man too. I think we could go vice versa with that. But it says, "Better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house." Listen, ladies, you want to help your husband? Be encouraging to him. Husbands, you want to help your wives? Be encouraging to her. Encourage her about the meals. Encourage her simply about who she is. Look, if she cooks every day, and I know everybody's schedule is different, and so your wife may not cook every day. Y'all may eat out. You may do something different. I don't know. But your wife is planning and preparing every day, at least every now and then. Thank her for that. Instead of going to the table, eating, and getting up and walking away, and, well, it's another good meal, but, and never saying thank you. Encourage, promote. And by the way, maybe, men, if we'll encourage her that way, then she'll encourage us in the way that God wants her to. So her strength is seen in her husband, a husband who will be promoted. Thirdly, her strength is seen in her hands. Hands that help the poor. Her strength is seen in her home, a home that will be prepared. Her strength is seen in her husband, a husband who will be promoted. Her strength is seen in her hands, hands that help the poor. Can I say this, and then we'll move right on. Can I go back to number two real quickly? I remember when my wife and I were first married, and there were many occasions that first year that my wife could have gotten on the phone to her parents and complained about me. But she never did. Many, many times that first year, two strong-willed people coming together as one, you know how that works. But many, many times she could have. And you know what happened? We just grew together, and we worked through all of those things. And you know what she did? She helped me, she encouraged me, she promoted me. She never, ever talked badly to me or about me to her parents. And you know what? I'm thankful for that, because you know what? She could have. You know something else I'm thankful for? She doesn't let my mom talk bad about me. There have been times when her and my mom are talking, and my mom was like, "Yeah, I know Timmy, that's just how he is." And boy, wait a minute. No, that's not how he is at all. I don't know what you're saying. You know what? I'm grateful for that. And ladies, those are the kind of young... Why are you grateful, Pastor? Because it helps me. First of all, that first year, it helped me not to have to defend myself against things that probably would have been true, you know? But instead of beating me down, she helped me and she encouraged me. Her strength is seen in her husband, a husband who will be promoted. Her strength is seen in her hands, hands that help the poor. Look at verse number 20. We already read it. The Bible says, "She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy." Hey, ladies, you know where your strength lies? When you reach your hands out to the poor. When you look at someone who is less fortunate, when you're constantly thinking about others above yourself, constantly thinking about, okay, what can I do for this person? What can I do for that person? Can we take them a meal? Can we take them something? That boy, they really need some encouragement. Can we bake them a pie, or can we take them some cookies, or can we do this? Whatever the case might be. She reaches her hands to the poor. Again, she's not reaching her hand out to climb the ladder of corporate success. And again, I've said that several times. I'm not against that. But I'm saying that's not where our strength lies. Men or women, for that matter. Our strength lies in the preparation of our home, ladies. The strength lies in a husband who is known, who has a reputation, who's promoted in the gates, the Bible says in verse number 23. Your strength is known by your hands. These hands of the virtuous lady, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's willing to help. She has a desire to help. That's where your strength lies. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and it's seen in her hands. We need a generation of young ladies who are constantly thinking about others instead of themselves. And I tell you tonight, and I don't want to harp on this tonight, and I'm not going to, But this Facebook generation is killing our selflessness. We're just full of self. How many likes can I get from this picture? How many likes can I get from this photo? How many likes can I get from this tweet? And we're constantly looking at me, 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 instead of what can I do for somebody else? Constantly. And that's killing us. It's killing our young men. It's killing our young ladies. Just killing our civilization and society as a whole, for that matter. It's killing us as older adults too, because we do the same thing. Man, how many likes can I get on that tweet that I put out? By the way, pastors are the worst. Yeah, boy, I zinged him. How many likes can I get on that? What's that about? And it's this me, 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 me. And it's all about me. You ever think, and again, I don't want to harp here because we use it for our services, and I'm grateful for it. But did you ever think that we would have this platform where we're just putting every moment of our lives on it? Every moment, everything we do, we throw it on Facebook. And look, I'm going to get, we use it. It's good. It's just like anything else. It can be a great tool or it can be used by the devil. And we just can't allow it to we can't allow the devil to let us be drawn in to that trap. The Bible says the virtuous woman, hey, young ladies, it's not about how many likes your selfie gets. Is that how you do a selfie? I don't know. I imagine that's how you do it. Brother James, is that how you do it? I don't know either. How many likes am I going to get on that? On my, what is it? Selfie? Self? Instead of thinking about that girl at my school. You know, she doesn't come dressed the way I dress. She doesn't come from a very good home. Or at least it seems that way. You know what? Maybe I could be her friend because nobody else is being her friend. Because she's different. She doesn't have the name brand stuff. She doesn't dress cool. She doesn't dress fashionably. She doesn't talk like everyone else. You know what? Maybe you should be the one to go be her friend. And stretch forth your hand to the needy. You want to be strong? Stretch forth your hand to the needy. The strength of a virtuous woman, her strength is seen in her home, a home that will be prepared in her husband, a husband who will be promoted. Her strength is seen in her hands, hands that help the poor. Number four, her strength is seen in her heart, a heart that is priceless. Virtuous is the word. A heart that is priceless. Virtuous. Who can find a virtuous woman? A woman who is given to virtue. A woman who is given to that which is pure, that which is virtuous. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her strength is seen in her heart, a heart that is priceless. A lady who has a heart for God Almighty. A lady who has a heart for that which is right and that which is good. A lady who has a heart for the Word of God. A lady who has a heart to help others. Virtue. Virtue. Virtuous. The Bible says that that kind of heart is priceless. Far above rubies, the Bible says. Her strength is seen in her heart, a heart that is priceless. And then finally tonight, her strength is seen in her honor, an honor that shall be praised. We saw this last Sunday morning. Her strength is seen in her home, in her husband, in her hands, in her heart, and in her honor. Her home will be prepared. Her husband will be promoted. Her hands reach out to the poor. Her heart is priceless. By the way, I don't think we can get by verse number 11 when we think about her heart. It's speaking about the husband's heart here, but the Bible says the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. And if you have a wife who you absolutely 100% completely trust, there's nothing like that, is there? I mean, you don't ever worry about anything. You don't wonder where she's at, what she's doing. You don't worry about anything because your heart trusts in her. By the way, that is strength right here, right there. That is strength in her heart. Her heart is priceless. Who she is, being a virtuous woman, being a woman of the Word, being a woman who is completely trusted. I tell you, you can't put a price on that, friend. You can't. And husbands, you know what I'm talking about tonight. You cannot put a price on that. Of never worrying about where... You know, some men, if their wives are out on a Saturday, and I'm not trying to be funny, I'm being very serious right here. If their wives stay out all day Saturday, you know what they're worried about? I'm going to have to work 100 extra hours next month to pay for everything that she just bought. And I'm being serious about that. Pastor, you don't think we ought to be able to go buy stuff? No, that's not what I said. What I'm saying is there are ladies, there are wives who don't know how to live within their means. That's what I'm talking about. And their husbands are constantly worried about that. How many of you ever listen to Dave Ramsey? You ever hear some of the calls? Dave, I didn't know this, but my wife had a secret credit card. Oh no. And we're in debt $75,000. By the way, listen to him. That's a true statement sometimes. By the way, husbands do it too. It's not just the ladies. The wife calls in, Dave, my husband had a separate bank account. He had a separate loan. Dave, we're in debt for $200,000. You can't put a price on trusting your spouse. And you want to know strength? Strength is right there in verse number 10. Strength is right there in verse number 11. A husband whose heart safely trusts in her. Number 5, her strength is seen in her honor. An honor that shall be praise. Pastor, I thought we only should praise God Almighty. That's true, but the Bible says we ought to praise the virtuous woman too. Would you look what the Bible says? Look at verse, we already read verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. Notice verse 30. The Bible says favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be what? Praised. By the way, who's going to praise her? Verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let her own works, the fact that she is a virtuous woman, the fact that she is clothed with strength and honor. Let her own works praise her in the gates. Rearing virtuous women in a treacherous world. We talked about training biblical knights for several messages, KNIGHTS. Listen, if we're going to train biblical knights, they need to have someone to marry. Who do they need to have? They need to have some virtuous women. If we have some young men that we're going to train to live for God and to live for His Word and to stand on what the Word of God says and to live by the Word of God, if we're going to train young men to do that, then we need to train young women so that they'll have someone to marry. And by the way, so that these young knights can marry these virtuous women and they can carry on the church. They can carry on what's going on in the church. One of those young knights one day can stand behind this pulpit. One of those virtuous women one day can sit at this piano and play. One of those virtuous women one day can stand before some young girls herself in her Sunday school class and teach. And she can speak at ladies' functions and she can be an encouragement and help to the younger ladies. I understand it's a treacherous world that we live in, isn't it? And I hear people say sometimes, you know what, I'm just not going to have any kids because I don't want to raise kids in this kind of world. And I can see where that comes from. And I can understand that mentality. But dear friend, tonight, just keep having kids and keep trusting God and keep training them according to the Word of God. You know, just because we live in a treacherous world, God still wants you to have the reward of the fruit of the womb. Keep having kids. And just keep training them according to the Word of God. Don't let the world cower. Hey, we need young men who are going to meet the enemy at the gate, right? Psalm 127. We need young men who are going to meet the enemy at the gate, the Bible says. Then we got to have them and train them. We're done, but let me take you to one passage. Would you take your Bibles and go to Psalm 144 and we'll be done tonight. Psalm 144. That was an encouragement to some of you young couples, by the way. Those nursery workers don't have enough work to do. They need some more babies in that nursery. Those nursery workers are going to say, Pastor, we're going to let you come work in here. Verse number 12. Would you look there, Psalm 144, Psalm of David, verse number 12. The Bible says that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Notice what it said in verse 12, about the young ladies, that our daughters may be as cornerstones. I think that's interesting. Many times it's the ladies that are the cornerstones of the home, isn't it? But notice what it says, polished after the similitude of a palace. The virtuous woman. Not polished on the outside and knows everything to say and how to act when certain people are around. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about pure on the inside. We're talking about polished on the inside after the similitude of a palace. Young ladies, is that you tonight? You know, we're talking to our older ladies, our middle-aged ladies. We're talking to those who have daughters who have the opportunity to influence, but young ladies, can I say this? You can make a decision tonight to say, you know what, God? I'm going to be a young lady who is submissive to you. I'm going to be a young lady who has the right kind of spirit. And I'm going to be a young lady who is strong according to the Word of God. And when my guides teach me, I'm going to listen. When God, you teach me from your word, I'm going to listen. And I'm going to be thankful for who I am. And I'm going to embrace it with everything that I have. You can make that decision tonight. And I'd beg you that you would. And ladies, I'd encourage you tonight to say, God, help me. Well, we have some marble that's being cut out, that's being fashioned. God, would you help me to polish it? God, would you help me to polish the young lady that you've put into my care? God, would you help me to influence the young ladies that I have influence over? God, would you help me to influence them according to the Word of God? Not according to the world, but according to the Word of God. Can I say this and I'm done? Look, these young ladies in here tonight don't necessarily need us to be their best friends, although we should. They need us to tell them the truth. And by the way, if you'll tell them the truth, you'll be their best friend. Let's polish them after the similitude of a palace. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your help. Father, I pray for our young ladies tonight. And Father, you've given us some wonderful families in our church. You've given us some wonderful children, young men, young ladies. Father, I think about our little ones. And Father, how much they soak in your word. Father, you've given us good families. But Father, even good families can stray sometimes. And Father, I pray that you'll help every single one of us tonight just to make that commitment in our hearts. God, we're going to stay with your word. We're going to train. We're going to teach. We're going to do our absolute best based on your word. And then we're just going to rest in your power and in your strength and in your mercy and in your grace. Father, we just need your help tonight. Father, if we've strayed a little bit, maybe we've gotten a little lax when it comes to certain things. Father, would you bring us right back into the center of your will? Would you bring us back close to you tonight? Father, help us. We just need it tonight. That's what we're asking for. I pray that you'll help parents and children alike tonight. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight, heads bowed and eyes closed. You might be here tonight and you don't know Christ. Listen, friend, if you don't know Christ, you need to come. The lady's saying the final call. This might be your opportunity tonight. You need to be saved. Moms tonight, grandmothers tonight, we're doing everything we can to polish those cornerstones. Hey, let me ask our husbands tonight, are we doing everything we can to encourage our wives? Do we thank them for being the priceless, virtuous women that they truly are? Do we praise them for that? Hey, husbands, the Bible says that it's the husband who rises up and praises her. Do you do that as much as you should? Kids, do you bless her tonight? Her children arise up and call her blessed. Children, you have a good mom tonight? Do you tell her that? Do you tell her how thankful you are for her? Then moms, are we doing everything we can with our young ladies? Young ladies need to be submissive to their God, to their guys and to their gender. They need to have the right spirit, meek and quiet spirit. And boy, we want to help them to be strong, to have one day, to have homes that are prepared, to have husbands that are promoted, to have a heart that is priceless, to have hands that reach out to the poor, and to be praised because of their own honor.